Thanks for that introduction, Angus. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about some work we did over the last summer. It was a small part of my dissertation work in total, but where we looked to better relate the samples that we were using to survey rye stink bug populations to the actual damage that they're eliciting in the field. So the rye stink bug, Obelisk pugnax, is a key pest of heading rice in the southern United States. Both the adults and the nymphs feed on the developing kernels of rice and other grasses, such as cultivated species like sorghum and rice, and then also many uncultivated species like ryegrass and barnyard grass. The damage that the rice stink bug deals to developing rice kernels depends upon when feeding actually occurs. So if feeding occurs from flowering to the milk stage, you can expect direct yield loss, so meaning actual loss of weight on the kernels. However, if feeding only occurs from the milk through the soft dough and into the beginning portions of the hard dough growth stages, then we don't really see direct yield loss, but what we really see is an indirect yield loss. So it means a quality loss. The quality of the seeds are actually altered. And in rice, we call that peck. And peck is just the result of the rice stink bug feeding on these kernels with piercing sucking mouthparts, which allows for a heightened invasion by fungal species that are already out in the fields. So it's something that it's also naturally occurring, but feeding from the rice stink bug can make it more prevalent. And so peck just refers to the discoloration or the shrunkenness of kernels. And generally for rice stink bug, we look at these bullseye-shaped lesions, and that's indicative of a rice stink bug feeding there in the center and then the fungal species spreading out through the kernel. And these are important because consumers don't want rice with black marks on them. They perceive them as dirty. And also because there's been some research that shows that later down the line in milling, if there's peck on the kernels, it's more likely to break. And our most valuable rice is our head rice or our whole kernel rice kernels. So at 2.5% and 4% pecky kernels in a sample, mules will actually dock at $23 to $43 a loss per acre. And that's very important considering that it only costs about $7 to $8 to control for this pest. So we sample for the rice stink bug with a standard sweep net, 15-inch sweep net, and we use 10 sets of 10 sweeps. And those should be done at weekly beginning at 75% emergence through about 60% hard dough is where we terminate insecticide applications. Our threshold is different depending upon the growth stage or the year. It's timing, but it's also kind of growth stage. For the first 2 weeks, really from that 75% emergence into the end of the milk stage, we spray on 5 stink bugs per 10 sweeps. And then once we really move into soft dough, or what we call the second 2 weeks of heading, we spray on 10 rice stink bugs per 10 sweeps. But we need to talk a little bit more about how these two things work together, the threshold and our sampling. So since we're at a cotton meeting, a good example is plant bugs. We use a 2.5-foot drop cloth to sample for plant bugs. And so when you sample both sides of the drop cloth, you sample 5 row foot. So you know the exact sampling area in the field. And then when you're doing things to assess how much damage a plant bug actually does, you can look at cage trials and look at 5 row foot and relate that directly. So it's, we would call it a direct area relationship. However, in rice, we do try to achieve the same thing. So on the right there, you can see that we have a cage of rice that's 6 foot by 6 foot, meaning it's 36 square foot of rice. And we add in stink bugs, and we can get a density to area relationship of how much damage once we assess it at the end of the year. But then we have to relate that to our sampling regimen, and that's really where we get into a lot of issues. So in rice, we recommend a 15-inch sweep net. That's our width that's being sampled, and we do it 10 times. So you know to some degree how much area is being sampled, but we recommend no length in that equation. So about as close as we get to that is to say to use a 180-degree arch, which is not very clear on what we mean. And when we went out and looked at different samplers, extension personnel and consultants, what we found is anywhere from 2.5 foot to 9 foot in length being used. So our actual sampled area is not very clear. So that's one issue that we have. And another issue is relating the relative samples in those nets to the actual absolute area that's in a cage. So we don't understand the actual sampling success of sweep nets. So how many stink bugs are you catching versus how many are actually there? And because of those issues, it's really hard for us to actually relate our sampling regimen to the damage being done. And because of that, we've had very little success in the last 5 or 10 years of actually doing cage trials for rice stink bugs, because although we put a lot of stink bugs in there, we're not seeing the damage. So our question was, could we design a trial that relates a direct, or I'm sorry, that establishes a defined sampling area in the field with a sweep net and then also sample from that same area to look for the damage that the stink bug causes. So go beyond the actual use of the cage. And that was the objective of my study that I'm talking about today, where we look to create an uncaged trial for determining the losses that's caused by rice stink bug. So we went out to grower fields and some research stations, and we laid out plots, generally about 15 to 20 feet in width, just depending on the area that we had, and then we did 50 foot in length. And across that 50 foot, we would do two sets of 10 sweeps, so about 25 foot per 10 sweeps. We split these plots in half, a lot like we do with our plant bug trials. On the left half, we actually sampled, but on the right half, we only harvested. And we did that because if you try to harvest where you sampled, a lot of the rice is beaten up and probably have higher instances of peck, and also just a lot lower yields overall because we knock a lot of grain off when we go through. We used 6-foot sweeps, and so we set the actual length that we were using to make sure we were all using the same length. And then if we did hit threshold in these plots, we sprayed the entire plot. So we keyed off of what was on the left side, sprayed the entire thing, and then harvested the right side of them. We used a randomized complete block design where we had untreated plots, our standard threshold, which was 5 stink bugs for the first 2 weeks, and then 10 stink bugs for the second 2 weeks, 10 stink bugs all season, and then 20 stink bugs all season. We sampled these weekly, and for one determination of whether or not we would apply an insecticide, we had 8 sampling units for each threshold, so at each location. So we had 4 plots and then 2 sets of 10 sweeps within each plot. So it would be the average across those 8, and then we would spray across all of those plots for that treatment if it was above or at threshold. And we looked at 6 locations in total in 2018, and it's a pretty good representative area of eastern Arkansas and also the River Valley, where we see a lot of issues with rice stink bug. We harvested about 20 foot of the ripe side of the plot, the harvested area, and then we weighed that and the entire plot, or the entire 20 foot that we harvested. We took 700 gram samples of rough rice, and then about 100 grams of that we dehulled down to brown rice. And then we took that brown rice, and then we determined the percent peck by separating out damaged kernels from undamaged kernels. And specifically, we separated out what we were determined as peck caused by rice stink bugs by using those bullseye-shaped lesions. The response variables we looked at was the peck caused by rice stink bug. Then we also did yield, milling yield, and head rice yield. But I'm not going to share any of the last 3 with you because our data is really inconclusive on those aspects. We used proglimics in SAS version 9.4 and did both analysis of variance and regression analysis. However, I'm only going to show you data where we analyzed it for 3 thresholds because our 20 all season never was really hit, so really we had untreated plots. At one location, we did get beyond 20 in those plots, but we decided not to spray it because it was the very end of the season and we wanted just to have more untreated plots so we could do a better regression analysis with that. We did see a threshold by location interaction. However, we took that and analyzed within location after we saw the interaction, and I'll explain a little bit more about why we chose that, but it'll become more clear. So looking first at the results, on the y-axis we have the percent peck caused by rice stink bug, and on the x-axis we have our 6 locations, and at each location we have our 3 threshold treatments. So looking first at the ones on the right side, these are all kind of had the same instances that occur where we had very high stink bug numbers. So the standard and the 10 rice stink bugs were treated the same, where they were sprayed pretty much at the exact same time. What we did see was significantly more peck in the untreated than the other 2 thresholds at all 4 of these locations. In the other 2 locations, we actually did spray the standard threshold earlier, as it did hit 5 rice stink bugs earlier in the season. And then after that, we sprayed the 10 a little bit later. Stuttgart 1, we sprayed a week later. Stuttgart 2, we sprayed 2 weeks later. And as you can see, we had a little bit differences in what was actually statistically different because of that. When we drop in our 2.5% peck, the grade 3 rice point where farmers actually lose money, we can see that 3 of these locations approach or exceed that 2.5% peck, where they would lose about $25. But until you add in the number of stink bugs, it really doesn't tell you the whole picture. And so when you look at just the average number of stink bugs that we caught at these locations, you can see that we saw a pretty good response in stink bug number to peck. But moving on, it's really better to look at it with the regression analysis. So we still have the same y-axis here, but now we have on the x-axis the average number of stink bugs we sampled per week. And we have 2 different slopes. So the dashed line coincides with the circles on there. and that's going to be plots that receive the insecticide application, and then the dotted line coincides with the triangles, and that's going to be plots that never receive an insecticide application. And so what we found was that if we sprayed plots with an insecticide, we did not see a significant relationship between the number of stink bugs in those plots and the amount of PEG that we found at once we sampled at the end of the year. However, if we did not spray those plots with an insecticide, we saw a significant interaction or significant association between the number of stink bugs there and the amount of PEG that we found. And on average, it was about 0.1% PEG per stink bug. However, if you look at the line for our 2.5% PEG, really once you get to about 15 stink bugs on average per 10 sweeps, that's when you're getting to the point where you're going to lose money. And if 0.1 times 15 doesn't equal 2.5, but if you see it down there at the bottom or at the where the axes meet, we didn't really approach zero. And that's because although we use the rice stink bug peck or use the bullseye-shaped lesions to indicate rice stink bug peck, it's not the best method to use. There's not a great method to actually determine what's caused by rice stink bug, but it's what everyone has used in the past. And there's a lot of more going on there than we understand. When we completely exclude rice stink bugs using cages, we do still see some bullseye-shaped lesions. So it's something that we just don't understand yet. Looking back at our objective, we wanted to create a trial that where we could determine the amount of damage that rice stink bug was causing without using cages. We found was a similar relationship at each location, which is telling us that we got a pretty good hold on actually collecting and processing the data to where it's telling us what we have at those locations. And what we found was about 0.1% PEG added per rice stink bug, but that's on top of what was already present in the fields without stink bugs. And our economic injury level would be around 15 rice stink bugs. And considering that our threshold right now is 10 rice stink bugs per 10 sweeps, especially in the last 2 weeks of heading, it means that we're probably in a pretty good place. And that's really telling us what we're already was hoping was the case, because we don't really hear complaints from farmers that they're getting hit with PEG when they sprayed. It's very rare for someone to spray for stink bug and then also have PEG in those fields. But moving on, we really got to understand how weather plays a role in this. This is 1 year's of data. I know I did a lot of locations, but with 1 year, we don't really get to have too many different instances of weather with that. And we know from the past that PEG can be really bad in certain years. So especially, I think, around 2000 or 2001, they had a lot of PEG and they sprayed for stink bug. So is it something related with weather? Is it interaction with other diseases? It's not one single species that causes this. It's multiple species that are present in the field already. So there's a lot of interactions that are potentially going on, and I think Nick Bateman's going to look a lot more into that, those interactions specifically. And with that, I'd like to thank everyone that helped me and acknowledge my funding sources, the University of Arkansas and the Arkansas Rice Checkoff. Thank you.
All right, we got a minute or two for questions.
Aaron, any kind of mycotoxins associated with stink bug feeding?
Not that I know of. I don't. Well, the question is, are there any mycotoxins associated with feeding? It's never really mentioned like that in the literature. Not that I know of. It's just more of them invading when they feed. But yeah. Yeah, the question is, did we try to maybe use like Abbott's or something like that to try to get rid of the amount of PEG by looking at where we exclude? And I've done a lot of sleeve cage trials and large cage trials, and what we find is it's variable. I can get ones with no PEG, I can get ones with PEG, and these are where we're completely excluded. So it's something we could try, but I don't know that I would have confidence in it.
All right, thank you very much.